We're going to be reading in two different places. We're going to start off in St. John, the 10th chapter. We was riding to work this week and turned on the radio. We like listening to that bot radio. Sometimes it really blesses our heart, and sometimes we argue with the radio. But anyhow, there was something that the man mentioned, and it kind of got us thinking on a particular line. You know, there's a lot of people that do things with the best intentions. Tony just mentioned about this job, and I'm sure that this is a job in his mind that he thinks that he wants. And I don't know that there could be any, or I guess you could say, nobler job to have than to try to enforce the laws of the state. But you know what? A lot of times people have the best intentions and things go terribly wrong. Then there's others that their intentions are not good at all. And when we look at them, whether sometimes I know when bad things have happened to me, whether it be a brother in Christ or a lost person, that we look and we say, well, what are their intentions? Did they mean to harm me? Or is this something that just kind of spun out of control? Their intentions were not to harm me at all, but it just happened that way. And I think that it would do us well to know the enemy. I know that there's a lot of people that today don't believe that there is a devil, that Satan doesn't exist. There's people that believe in a God, but yet don't believe in a Satan. But yet it goes contrary to the Holy Scripture. We can't take out the passages of scriptures that speak about God and agree to believe them when Christ Jesus himself spoke about Satan and so many of the dialogue that he had with mankind when he was here on this earth. And it would do us well to know the enemy. You know, I know as a kid raised, growed up in church, that a lot of times we had an understanding when our parents told us not to do something that we sometimes thought, well, they don't want us to do it because this is something fun to do, and my parents don't want me to have no fun. We know that Satan came to Eve in Genesis, third chapter, and was talking to her about the fact that that God didn't want her to eat of this fruit because if she did, some good would come of it. But we know that, in fact, that what she experienced was death. And if you would, we can read in the 10th chapter of John. And this is the Lord speaking. And he's talking of himself, and then he's talking to Satan. And we can read this, and I hope that we get a clearer picture of the Lord, and not only of the Lord, but what the devil's intentions are. You know, with everything that the Lord blesses us with, Satan has a cheap counterfeit, but it's not a counterfeit as in second best. You know what? Sometimes we stand in the store, and because I'm a machinist by trade, in my mind, I truly believe that if it's made in America, it's of good quality. And though it might not be the best in the world, it sure is better than the stuff made in China. You know, and there's been times that I've looked and I've not been able to purchase the product that's made in America, and we have to settle for a cheap imitation. We have to settle for something that's not going to last my lifetime. I was telling the boys, I can't remember what it was. I said, this costs some money, but if I take care of it, it's going to last me the rest of my life. Or I could buy something that you just, it breaks and you throw away. You know, there was shoe cobblers, and they resold your shoes. You know why? Because they were made of such quality that that when you wore the bottoms of them out, you could put a whole new sole on them, and you could wear them again. I know when I was a kid, I believe there were some men that would talk about that they had their shoes resold three times. Well, you know what? Today, if you buy you some shoes in Walmart, that is, I bought some tennis shoes. I think they lasted me 4 months. The last pair of tennis shoes I bought. And so then there's cheap counterfeits for those that can't afford maybe the best. But if we have an understanding that with whatever thing God has for us, Satan's offering a cheap counterfeit, and to think that this is second best, and I'm not willing to
that is the best. I'll settle for the second best. We have a misunderstanding of what Satan's intentions are. It says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that he ever come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture." Now listen here. "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But he that is a harlot and not the shepherd, who owns the sheep, whose own the sheep are not, see the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a harlot and careth not for the sheep." All right now, Jesus Christ here is likening himself to a good shepherd. He is likening Satan, as it were, to a thief and a wolf. I don't know. I've seen before. I've never seen coyotes chase my cattle. But I know that dogs oftentimes do. My father's got a dog that goes out and he likes playing with the calves. And he'll run them a little bit. And sometimes they'll run her as well. But that dog is not as a wolf. You know, I remember the tale where a coyote was chasing a rabbit. And the rabbit flees. And the coyote comes. He had been sitting next to his buddy. And now another coyote. And when he seen the rabbit, he took off after it. And the rabbit outrun him. And the coyote come back to his friend. And his friend said, "What's the matter? I thought you was faster than a rabbit." And he said, "I am." He said, "But I was just running for a meal. That rabbit was running for his life." Listen, we're in a warfare today. And Satan is coming. And he's seeking. Not just to persuade our little children to go over here and not serve the Lord. But the Bible tells me he's a thief. And now let's see. I've heard of the camp before in the big city. I've never been stolen from, thank you, Jesus. But I know there's been people that have had the other people come and rob them. I know that there's been situations where in the city somebody will hold them at gunpoint or they'll brandish a knife and they'll say, give me your money. And there's some that say, look to their wife, or maybe the wife looks to the husband and says, just give him your money and he'll leave us alone. Oh, but the Bible tells us we ain't got no reason to be ignorant. But that Satan is more than just a common thief. The Bible tells me that he has come to steal and destroy and to kill. Oh, when I look in the face of my little children, there is an enemy, and his name is Satan. And he's not content with you living out in the woods somewhere by yourself. He's not content in feeding you bread and water. But his desire is to see you water in the mire. His desire is to see everything you love and everything that's good, everything you care for, to be destroyed and to be killed. Oh, but the good shepherd, there sometimes there'll have to say sorry. Oh, but it's for my good. Oh, Christ Jesus said, he said in God's holy word, that if your eye offend me, I'll pluck it out. If your hand or foot offend me, cut it off. Why would Jesus be telling me that I should bring harm to myself? I thought he was a good shepherd. Oh, but we just have to listen to what he said. He said, "For it is better."
Whoa, whoa, to the one. Who's up in this? Who's up in this? What's that talking about? That's talking about the tender mercies of the wicked. That have been little children. That have been raised in their mom or their daddy or their grandparents or their neighbor or this one or that one. Says I'm a Christian and then begins to do those things that a woman would do. Those things that a thief would do. A robber. A thief. A murderer. One that is meant for destruction. And then little child understands there must not be any God. And why is that? Because the Bible says of a tender mercy for the wicked. Heart cruel. Think about that. Think about that wolf out there in the field. Oh, well, I believe it was Monday. Daddy went to get a free meal. It ended up costing more. What the meal would have cost. But anyhow, we was moving cattle. Ain't that funny how they were? I could have gave you $20. You could have treated your wife, Daddy. All right, man. But anyhow, we needed to move cattle. I don't know why my kids have got trouble with pink eye. A lot of times it goes. They stick their face down in the grass. But we had them in the field. They got her down and ate down pretty good. But yet they had the pink eye. We went out there. We got the cattle up. And there was a calf. And I'd seen it earlier a day or two before. And it had pink eye in one eye and it looked like it was getting over it. Well, the thing about pink eye and cattle is it scars their eye. They can't see very good out of it. Oh, once it heals up, depending on how severe the case is, I've seen it swell up to where it looks like their eyeball's going to rupture. I've even seen their eyeball rupture. And then anyhow, we got the cattle up, and we had two cows to treat and four calves. But that calf that had it in the one eye, I thought it was getting over with it. It was just the day before. It had it in the other one, and it was all blowed up. And we got the cattle up, but that calf couldn't see. That calf was more or less blind. I'm sure it could see shadows, and it could see good enough. That when I'd walk up to it and move, that it knew I wasn't a cow. So anyhow, I don't know. The cattle kind of acted restless, and sometimes when dogs get after them and run them, that when you get out there, there's used to running from those things that meant them harm. I don't know if they didn't run the dogs, if the coyotes maybe be bothering them or what. But anyhow, we went out there, and I couldn't get. I'm not much of a cowboy. I've got a lasso, but it spends more time tying up other things. And being used for a lasso. And in order to have a lasso that works good, it's got to have some memory in it. You know what I mean? It's got to hold a loop. You can't have it like my boys. I bought them a little lasso. And you got to tie it up. You got to place it where there's a nice loop. And leave it hanging like that. Or they just put it up in your way. So when you begin to throw it, don't have a loop, or I have a big old figure eight in it, or whatever. Well, that's the way my lasso is too. And I thought, well, I'll get out there, and we'll get this calf. I'll just, them horse whispers. Well, I thought I'd just whisper to that little old calf, and I'd throw the rope around it, and we'd be done with it. Well, before it was over with, I whispered at it, and I hollered at it. It had a problem, see. It couldn't clearly see. It didn't know that I was meaning to do it good. I didn't know, just like that old wolf. They run after, as the Bible says, and pursues. Because in order that they might catch. It's not a game, as it were. Okay. Like my dad's dog does. and he was the older one. When it comes to the time, old time will wait on you. Listen to me now. As old David said, I was young and now I'm old. All the Bible says is but a vapor. Oh, 4 years. It can be a long time. Oh, he was thinking about it. When Billy heard Bill was coming. I remember one of the few last times I've seen him. It was in the hospital. My wife had just had Jubal. And I was just so proud of him, as any father is. And he come and see me. Oh, life passes by so swiftly. Jubal is up big enough. He helps her cattle now. Oh, right now. And so we went out there. Poor people, I reckon, got poor ways. We sometimes have sat on the front of the four wheeler, and my dad drives. Now the secret to driving a four wheeler. With a middle-aged man sitting on the front. That used to be a lot thinner than he is now. It's like you can't see the ground right before you. And why is that? Well, somebody's sitting in the way. But you've got to have the vision to look way out yonder. And you take notice of the ground. So that when it comes up to the four-wheeler, you know where that bump's at. Not because you see it going under the four-wheeler, but because you see it 15 foot out there. All right. I already told you. My dad was buying an expensive meal for his wife and around the back way. So we weren't there. So then, I told my wife, I knew better. I asked her to sit out there on the front of the four-wheeler. So I said, you can do the driving. But my wife was unfamiliar with the four-wheeler. She weren't used. But I had them at this church. We need a vision. The world's so used to looking at them around them. Oh, but we need to lift our eyes and look toward the heaven. I walk not by sight, the Bible says, but by faith. The world's used to looking at man. Oh, I'll have to tell you, I know from experience that the tender mercy of the wicked is truly cruel. So that we only custom to be pursued by wolves. Oh, we need a vision. All right now. I told my wife, I'm going to sit on this four-wheeler, and I've got this road, and you're going to drive up alongside of this cow, and I'm going to throw the rope, or I'm going to jump off and bulldog it. And she said, all right. Well, that lasted for just a little bit, because you got to go faster. Then I kept, let me see. I don't know how slow we was going. But a three-legged dog run circles around us. And I told her, honey, you're going to have to go faster. She said, I can't see. That's where I was. When I was out in fear, I've been pursued just like that little calf. By the wolves of Satan. And I couldn't see. If I only looked up and seen my Jesus and put my faith and trust in Him. My wife, I told her, honey, you're going to have to go faster. I can't see. And I said, all right. Little did that calf know, I just wanted to reunite it with his mama after I stuck a needle in its eye and pumped it full of penicillin. Sounds pretty painful. It is. I've never had a needle shoved in my eye, but I've had a needle shoved into me when I was trying to shove it in her eye. And it hurts in the finger. See, you catch them. And you curl their head up. And by curling their head up, they look down. I don't know why cattle are like that. And when they look down, you take a little fine needle
You put it in the white of their eye. There's a thin membrane on that eye. And I inject that full of penicillin. And it makes like a bubble or a balloon. But see, because when they get that pink eye, they got two things working against them. They got a bacterial infection. And they've got the eye water and flies are working. If you put that penicillin in there and it swells up that top of their eye where the white is, makes a big old balloon and they can't get their eyelid over it. Oh, they can if they look bug-eyed at you and they get real mad. But as soon as they blink, it pops it back over there and their eye stays closed. And somebody, an old vet told me that he wasn't too sure if that didn't help more than anything was the fact that it just kept their eye closed. And then that penicillin slowly soaks in. I told my wife to get off the four-wheeler. Now this is a four-wheeler that I've not wrecked as of yet. I'm thinking, I've got to make sure. I'm not totaled in any way. I might have wrecked it a few times. We take turns about usually, but I think now that it's about two in a row. So anyhow, this is a four-wheeler that I was happened to be on when the motor blew up. Four-wheeler we've not got back from the... I don't know if you can say it's even fully broke in yet from having the motor rebuilt. So, Daryl sometimes throws caution in the wind when he shouldn't. As he gets older, he begins to think of all those things that might happen. Not might happen because he heard somebody talk about it. He heard somebody at work that that's what happened to him. Might happen because it's happened to me. And I got on there and I thought, well, Daryl, you don't want to wreck a four-wheeler. After all, you just spent a lot of money on putting a motor in it. But my intentions was that I think that I could ride up alongside that four-wheeler and bail off and bulldog it. Just kind of let the four... Because when you let it go of the gas, they usually slow down and stop unless they hit something. So anyhow, that was our intention because we had to get this calf. We needed a doctor and we was running out of daylight. Anyhow, so we gassed it and the calf, oh, they'll run sometimes. They'll stretch out like a greyhound. We ran and it cut here and it cut there. And the more it did that, the more frustrated I got. Anyhow, we gassed it. We got up right even with it. You want to bail off right when their head's about here. But its backside, its butt was right about here. And I thought, well, I've just got to get a little bit more ahead of it. It decided to make a right turn. And Darrell just ran right over it. I took a run out of it, I call it. I ran over it. I'd run over calves before, but that was back when we had a lighter four-wheeler and I was lighter. So anyhow, as soon as we run over it, I slam the brakes up. Roll off and the thing's getting up and he's running again and I grab it by its back tail. Yeah, I didn't grab the tail on its head. I grabbed the one on the head. And so this calf's up pretty good size. I thought at the time it was about 200 pounds, but since then we've looked at it and it ain't over 150. But at that time, I got it by its tail. If ever leap, it was getting bigger and if anybody's ever grabbed a tiger by its tail, you know where I'm at. But anyhow, you grab them by the tail, and as they lunge, you can kind of feel you're giving them a chiropractic adjustment. You kind of feel that tail going stretching out there, and you kind of feel it popping like when you crack your neck. And anyhow, and I thought, I can't hold on to this. And we've done it before when they've had scars, and I've got pretty good grip, but they only buck, they buck like a rodeo bull. And I thought, well, I'll grab a hold of one back foot. And in all this time period, it took a whole lot of, they were just talking about a few seconds, and it was from here over to the end of the parking lot, and I got a hold of one back foot. That's a good thing to do, except that opens you up to the other back foot. So it nailed me about two times, and then I was at before I could grab a hold of it, and we threw her down, and we sat on it. And I was waiting for my wife, and we didn't realize how far that distance we traveled. And I'm laying on this calf, and I thought, Daryl, you still got it in you. But I didn't have it in me anymore. I left it out there because I saw her.
I thought, you know how you feel when the blood's draining out of your head. And I was just thankful I was laying on that cat. Because if I was standing up, I'd been laying down. We hauled tied it in between me and my wife and the boys. We loaded it up on the four-wheeler and we took it to the barn, and I began to treat it. And I said all of that to say this. That the Lord, He said, Darryl, if your hand offend me, cut it off. Why would Jesus tell me that? Because when bad things happen, if we're serving the Lord, it's for our good. He would have us make sacrifices in life for our good. But Satan, even when he offers me those things that might be pleasurable, that I might enjoy, the Bible says there's joy in sin for a season. Let us not forget his desire is to steal, to kill, and destroy. Even when bad things happen, his heart's desire is that he is the good shepherd, and he wants to see us in heaven. He wants to be there at his throne, and us around about his singing praises. Because if we'd be so foolish as to believe the lies of Satan, when we die, the Bible tells me that there is a hell. We live in a culture today that anytime anybody dies, I don't care how far back they have to go, they'll go back as far as they can to find something good to be said. Well, you know, I don't think that we should speak ill of the dead and have a funeral and say that guy there laying in that casket was the most worthless person I've ever met. But the point is that we are what we are. Now think about that for a minute. Satan told that to me over and over again. I was raised in a home, went to church every week, usually three times a week unless we were sick. And Satan, when I was trying to do good, and I fall and do that which was evil. And why? Because that is the nature of man. And Satan said, Darryl, you are. There's no point in trying. Listen to me. He was right. But we have a good shepherd that we can call out to. Do you sometimes find yourself running? You know what? There's so many liars in this world. It's sometimes hard, ain't it? To believe something that you want to believe so desperately bad, but you've been lying to. You're like that calf. I was trying to deceive it. I was. When I was up there in that field, I began to try my best to sound like a mom full of milk. I stood there and mooed as persuasively as I could. But I don't know if it was just the sound of my moo was not. I knew that I couldn't deceive that calf into thinking I was its mother, but I was in hopes that it would come to me thinking that I was another cow. I don't know if I was just that poor, or if because of the scar in the one eye, he could see shadows, or he could see around that scar and see that I weren't no cow. But either way, it took me to be as a dog or a wolf. Something that would harm it. Could you imagine being a calf? Blind. When you're a herd animal. When the only thing, when the only defense you have is to run. Little did it know that I meant it no harm. That I was just trying to help it. Oh, there's people out in this world that they've been ran by the wolves of Satan all their life. What do we try to do? We try to help them. Oh, that they could but see. And we would try to share with them the love of our God. And they think that this is good.
then they think of the tender mercies of the wicked.
You know, I knew a man once, and he more or less told me that he didn't ever think that he'd ever, that nobody ever loved him. He grew up in a home where he didn't feel the love from a father. He didn't feel the love of a mother. And I began to try to witness to him, and I said, God is a good father. It was foreign to him. He didn't know. Because when I said father, it brought up anger in his heart. Listen, Satan's job is to kill, destroy, and steal. But if you would just stop your running, oh, it might hurt. I'm sure when I stuck a needle in both of those cats, and that cat's eye, both of them, it bawled out. But we seen him this morning. And I let him loose, and I hadn't seen him. I'd seen Kaz off in the distance. We'd done that Monday night. And I hadn't seen him up close since then. I'd looked for him several times, but never seen him. We was traveling up the driveway, and he was laying with four others along the road. And I don't know if he's got more flighty or he can see better than that. But we didn't get near as close as we'd got before. And he jumped up. I don't know if that calf will ever know that I've done him some good. But I can tell you with all certainty that we have a Heavenly Father. And sometimes we look out in this life and we say, if God is real, why are all these things happening? I tell you what. Because of all of these awful things that happened in this world is the very reason Jesus Christ came. Is because that if we were left to ourselves, we would have already destroyed ourselves. That mankind would have killed himself off of the face of this earth long before we'd ever made it to 2010. Yes, I've experienced the tender mercies of the wicked. And it's a whole lot better than experiencing the wrath of the wicked. But it's still cruel. But if we would just let Jesus into our heart, if we would embrace His teachings, He's not trying to keep us from having fun, but He is trying to protect us from the consequences of sin. You know, I can remember when I was a kid, thinking about when Satan would come to me and tempt me and say, Daryl, you ain't never done this. You ought to do this. This is fun and that's fun. And I'd look around and I'd see people that were having fun. But I had a grandfather. And he loved the Lord and he broke his heart when he seen people out there sowing their wild oats. And I could remember how he would talk about the home he come from. 15 years old and his dad in prison. Killing a man and his mama just up and left. Left him and his brother. But he had the courage to believe in Jesus. And because he had the courage to believe in Jesus, and then he gave his heart to the Lord gave him a godly wife. And his children didn't have to experience the tender mercies of the wicked. When he picked them up in his arm and he set them on his knee, they were able to look in the eyes of the sober father. No, not a sober father. Listen to me. That's what the world wants, don't they? They want to be sober. They want to be in control of their life until they can't carry it no more. And then they want to lose control. But listen, I'm thankful that when the Lord saved me as well as my grandfather, that He didn't sober me up. But the Bible said that He created in me a new heart and made me into a new creature. And He can do that for you. You know, and all it will take us to do is to listen to that good shepherd. Let's get some song to sing.
We could believe the lies of Satan, but they're just lies. He come to Eve and he said, come on. You can eat of this fruit. God don't want you to because he don't want you to know that between good and evil. Listen, God was just trying to protect Adam and Eve from the consequences of sin and the heartache. Oh, Eve said, well, she began to doubt the goodness of God. And the moment she took a bite of that fruit, she realized that Satan was a thief who killed and destroyed that which she could have had with the Lord.